you could probably take just as sexy a photo if you wanted to.
I could definitely take just... I don't want to. Let me ask you this question. Why should the person who is performing surgery on your pet have to have a six-pack?
You have a six-pack.
That's not the point, and it's not a full six yet. That's why I'm shredding right now.
Welcome to another episode of Shits and Giggles. We're a Schitt's Creek podcast where every other week we watch another episode of the series and then we talk about it, and we're moving through the series in chronological order. I'm one of your two hosts. My name is Paul McCambridge, and with me as always is my lovely wife, Carla. Carla, how are you?
Good. Ready to talk about season 3, episode 5.
That's right. It's time to cover the fifth episode of season 3, Rooms by the Hour. The original air date is February 7th, or was February 7th, of 2017. This episode is directed by T.W. Peacock, who we've talked about before. This is his first season directing, but I think it's already his third episode in the first five. That's a lot.
Yeah, I know we talked about him before. I don't remember how many times we've talked about him.
Let's say three.
Okay.
This episode is written by a newcomer, Megan. Sorry. It's written by Monica Heise.
Oh.
This is her first writer credit on the show. And she'll write one more episode in season 4. But she mainly works as a story editor through both seasons 3 and 4.
Oh, okay. Way to go, Monica / Megan.
Yep, Monica. But since then, she has written episodes of Working Moms and the Baroness Von Sketch Show, which we talked about before as well.
Yep.
All right, so that's that. I guess we can get into it. And we open in the motel, of course, as we do quite a bit. And Moira enters the kids' room.
I don't know.
Because she's, she walks in because David's there.
I know. I almost thought that she entered her room.
Maybe she does.
I don't recall.
That's all right. I wrote kids' room, but I could be wrong.
I wrote Em's room. I wrote Moira's room.
Okay.
So, already. We don't know, but she walked into the motel.
Yes.
We're not sure where she's at. I don't know why I was thinking, I don't know why David would be hanging out in there, but he had her computer and was looking at her email.
You're right.
But that doesn't necessarily mean he had to be in her room. I don't know. It probably doesn't really matter. Let's just get on to the exciting topic of conversation that was in her email.
The email from Jennifer, or Jennifer with a G?
Right. Her agent. Right. Yes. Her agent called. Does she have two Jennifer agents?
I'm sure there's someone she knows named Jennifer, and then her agent's name is also Jennifer, but one of them is with a G.
I don't know.
Is it Moira looking around for this that says she can't find anything but hot singles in her area?
Yeah. But yeah, so anyway, they find out that they sent an email. The agent called and sent an email for her to audition for a feature film.
I was really thrown because I forgot how early into this series The Crows Have Eyes was even mentioned.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't think it was this season.
It's The Crows Have Eyes 2.
Well, it is a sequel.
It is a sequel.
Which means that the first one must have been very successful, of course.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I do like how she says, "And so it begins again."
Again, yeah.
But yeah, The Crows Have Eyes 2. But now let's go into the hotel lobby.
But wait, there's a cute little part there because she discusses, she has to do like a reading, basically.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
To get this part. And I like that she gives David a whole list of things that she needs.
Oh.
She needs a camera, a drop cloth, a ring light. And he basically tells her he can prop up a phone on some books.
On some books, yes. Which is great then later when we see it, we see the whole set up.
Oh, yeah, totally. It's a phone propped up on some books.
Yeah. They do have sort of a drop cloths.
Yeah, there's something behind her.
I'm sure it's just a bed sheet from the motel.
Yeah, but she's super excited and needs lots of items that are inaccessible, apparently. Yes,
of course. For her. Well, she's a professional.
Yeah.
So now let's go to the, I called it a lobby. It's not a lobby.
It's an office.
It's an office. Yeah. Johnny's working the desk. This is really the first time, I know it was just last episode, that they sort of went into business together, but we see that he's pulling his own weight.
Ineffectively working the desk, pretty much.
Yeah. Do you think Stevie showed him how to work the computer? Or just assume nobody was coming so she could just leave him alone here for a while.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't know how much instruction took place. But if there was any instruction, it clearly did not go well.
I think he thinks he knows what he's doing. He's trying to do something.
I think he always
right.
wants to portray the person, the businessman that knows what he's doing.
No, you're right.
You know,
I like how Stevie's getting some time off, I guess, though.
That's fantastic. I don't think she ever had time off before this.
Not at all.
Right.
She would just have to, I guess, put a sign that said back in an hour if she ever had to drive David to Elmdale or something on the door. But it's nice. She's probably sleeping in or something like that.
Maybe. Yeah.
Someone comes in to... A woman comes in to rent a room?
Well, book rooms. She wants to book them. You wouldn't really call it renting, even though...
I guess you wouldn't, even if... it's not like you go to a hotel
You wouldn't go and say, I'm going to rent a room, because then that does sound like you're going to a seedy motel and you're going to rent a room for a few hours, which is basically what she wants to do. Johnny has no idea how to book rooms. She wants to book rooms. It's fantastic. No clue.
I love how he's trying to work the computer. And there's just, like, warning and alert sounds. You see windows are popping up. It sounds like slot machines, like a casino for some reason.
Yeah, but she wants to book three rooms. There's a big conference in Elmdale, and she needs rooms for the afternoon to conduct her own business.
Right.
You know, and was hoping she could score a discounted deal because the rooms wouldn't be needed in the evening. In the afternoons.
Yeah, just to, I don't know if she says decompress or unwind or something like that.
Yeah, and of course she can just pay cash.
Right. Oh, yeah. That, easy. You know, he doesn't have to try and work some sort of credit card machine or something.
Oh, yeah, that would be
make a lot easier on him.
Yes.
So this is Trish. Her name is Trish. We find out later. Mm-hmm. She is played by the actress Jennifer Dale.
Jennifer, with a J or
with
a G?
With a J.
Okay.
I checked. She's been acting since 1979.
Oh.
She's appeared in an episode of the Alfred Hitchcock Presents reboot in the 80s. And she's done voice work on the animated 90s X-Men series.
Okay.
Yeah. It's really interesting because she did X-Men video games and everything. She was the voice of Mystique. I don't know who that is, but it must be a character that was prominent enough to be in multiple episodes and on video games and everything like that.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, and she did voices in the video game Resident Evil 2.
Oh.
She was in Monk, Suits, Saving Hope, and Lost Girl. So those last two I think we talked about, but she's like the one bit player so far that I feel like is doing things or has done things very different than a lot of the people that we've
been
into.
And she's been around for a while, too.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
A lot of times we have some younger younger guests, guest starring roles or whatever. And
exactly.
Yeah.
So let's go to the cafe, shall we?
We shall. Yep, Moira is heading there. She's having a conversation with Twyla because she's super excited to share about her new possible role. She informs Twyla all about this possible role for her. It's between her and another actress that they didn't find yet.
Right.
Which kind of sounds offensive to her.
Oh, it's
totally.
Of course.
Yes.
Which I kind of love the fact that these people, whoever making this movie, like, reached out to her and found her. Like she was on their radar at all.
Yeah.
I find that really great. But I'm sure that happens with smaller films sometimes. You know, they probably do look around and say, okay, who is a name?
But is it really doing anything?
Yeah, it doesn't have
who's,
any
like,
work.
Ready for Dancing with the Stars or some of those other...
100%, that's what Dancing with the Stars does.
Right, like, kind of those people that you know who they are, but they're really need a little bit of a re-energizing to their career.
That's right. And Christy Swanson didn't go on Dancing with the Stars, mm-hmm. went on Skating with the Stars for the one season that was on.
Oh, how did she come up?
Okay. I don't know. I was just trying to think about somebody that hasn't been doing much recently and must have, I'm not going to say passed on Dancing with the Stars, but maybe she thought, I'll be in the first season of this huge hit.
Yeah, she's a skating vibe to her, though. You know, like...
Nancy Kerrigan? No, Tonya Harding. More Tonya Harding than Nancy Kerrigan.
I don't know. I just thought, like, all her stunts in Buffy seem like she would be good at, like...
Yeah.
Twirling around on ice.
Yeah, but then you see those athletes that can dance. You'd figure she'd be able
That's
to do...
That's true. She's not an athlete, though.
I know, but she did some somersaults.
Oh, man. Anyway.
That's more of an athlete than I am.
Back to Moira's possible movie role. So as she and Twyla are talking, Jocelyn shows up at the cafe.
Exactly.
And they are having a big discussion about needing to switch parts in a duet. Because now Moira has realized she is just not going to have time.
Oh, yeah. And this is
for the Jazzy Gals.
Prompted by Moira, too.
Yes.
It's not like Jocelyn suddenly like, oh, no, what are we going to do?
Right.
Moira's really just big timing them, being like, this isn't going to work out. I'm going to have to
And then,
I like how she, what is this perform, right? Like, with their little Jazzy Gals thing, right? Mm-hmm. They have a performance.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like they're touring. I like how she seems to think that this movie is going to interfere with the one evening that they're probably going to perform this song.
Yeah, but
I just
she
found
just
that
wants,
funny.
You know, she wants to be important.
No.
And,
oh, of course. No, no, no. You know. Definitely.
Yeah. But yeah, so they discuss the idea of Twyla taking Moira's duet part. So yeah, so that's a big discussion and apparently what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then we, again, hop to a new location.
Mm-hmm. Hop, like, a couple of bunnies.
Oh, like a couple of bunnies.
Yep. Over to the veterinary office, where Ted is he's very upset.
He's super upset.
That there's a sexy doctor, like...
Dr. Miguel.
...stealing his patients or something.
Yeah, he's really offended by this guy who has an ad in, like, a little newspaper or whatever. The little Schitt's Creek Times or... You know, some kind of shopper. I imagine it's some kind of like little shopper newspaper, you know, that you pick up like outside when you're walking into the grocery store.
Yeah, there's coupons in it and nonsense like that.
Yeah.
For local businesses. Yeah. Definitely.
But yeah, Ted is very upset. It has a shirtless Dr. Miguel with like little puppies around him and like little cute little animals.
Right. Yep.
Ted just thinks he's trying to sell sex and he's exploiting the puppies to do it. But yeah, he's really like heated about this.
Yeah. And Alexis is pretty smart because she's like, Ted, you're super ripped too. Why don't you do the same thing?
And they
but this is beneath him, of course.
Well, yeah, he doesn't want
right. to oh, no, no,
exploit
I know.
Animals.
Right.
Unless they're bunnies, apparently.
Well.
He decides.
Eventually, of course.
Right. Yes. So
is this the first mention? Is it the only mention of the Dude Cave? For some reason, I feel like the Dude Cave comes up again.
Yeah, it might.
In the series.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Yeah, it might. Yeah, the Dude Cave. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. You don't have to judge. You don't have to judge these people of Elmdale who might want to go to the Dude Cave.
I guess. Yeah. But yeah, so Alexis kind of suggests that maybe... They could set up a little bunny cam because they have a cute little cage of rabbits that I guess they're
like baby bunnies
looking
or something.
To adopt out once they are a little bit older. So they're just kind of hanging out. And she says, well, maybe they can just set up a little bunny cam so that everybody, all their patients and everybody can tune in to see the bunnies.
Yeah. Because she basically says, like, well, either you can prance around without your shirt and take pictures or you can lean into the cute animal thing and go that route. So. Yeah. This seems like something he would be into.
Yeah.
So now we see this setup that David has created for Moira. And she asks him to count her down, but to leave out two and the one when you count down, which I do think is
pretty
funny. Yeah,
she's doing her little screen test in front of her drop cloth and with the phone propped up on book. So David's kind of reading with her.
Right.
And talks about what a mess the script is and how it's basically just a ripoff of The Birds.
The line that she says where the crows have eyes, and you better not look them in it. Mm-hmm. It's so great. Like, mm-hmm. you can't even... The way it's written is amazing and terrible all at the same time. Mm-hmm. And it's certainly... Like, at every turn, that's the thing. They, little by little, they realize that this is super garbage, mm-hmm. and it isn't worth her time. But it's just right. little things like that that I think are just wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Also, in the script, there are two Claras. Mm. He brings up at one point, and right. Moira's like, it's a very common name.
Moira's just happy that this is like a jumping off point
sure.
for her
yeah.
to get back into her acting career, I but, guess.
Well, yeah. Of course she sees this as an opportunity.
Well, right. It's more than any other opportunity she has. Nobody else is really knocking down her door
no.
to get to her.
No, I at guess this the point. Herb Ertlinger wine thing really didn't take off.
Yeah, she was kind of drunk for that.
Right.
Didn't
but she
go
was
well.
Drunk for seasons, as we find out,
oh, sure.
of Sunrise Bay.
Right.
And was able to keep it together, or at least put some sort of decent product out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so who knows? This right. might be all she needs to get back into things.
Yeah. So now Stevie returns,
mm-hmm.
or shows up for the first time during the day. We don't know what she's up to. Mm-hmm. She's on to... I mean, she completely understands what's going on.
Right,
Johnny's
right away.
Very proud that he's booked rooms and he's making money for this
And
motel.
As he talks more and more, I think he's kind of maybe a little bit starting to realize what he has done.
Yes.
For the accountants conference.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
Starting to realize, but she sort of has to spell everything out with specific hand gestures
oh, yes.
and everything like that, which is pretty great.
Yeah.
And then he does tell her that he'll take care of it. Mm-hmm. And she's more than happy to just sort of let him deal with this. She wants nothing to do with it, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So now let's go...
to the bunny cam.
To the bunny cam.
Yep. Alexis and David are in the motel.
She's very proud of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that she's set all of this up. And she and David sort of watch the bunnies on the mm-hmm. live cam.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Ted...
She also
oh, yeah,
she
go ahead.
Squeezes a little, ew, no, David, in there.
When?
In this scene. I don't remember why
oh,
she said it.
Okay.
But she does.
Oh,
like
I
that,
didn't
and,
even
and
notice.
For as famous as that little saying is,
right.
so many people connect it with the show, she doesn't say, ew, David, a whole lot.
No. I thought there was
yeah.
a thing going around that says that she only said it
once. I think it's like twice, maybe.
Okay. Well,
but yeah, in this scene, she says, ew,
the,
no, David.
Maybe we hit the second
yeah,
time.
Yeah, when they're talking
the
about the bunny cam. But
okay.
yeah, so they connect in. They find out that 200 people are
right.
watching.
Mm-hmm.
And Ted must have been out for a run, exercising,
sure.
stretching. I don't know. He was
I don't know. Is
coming
this
back
later
in
the same day?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess.
That's
because
what he does
Stevie's
for his lunch
just coming
break.
In. Yeah. Like
yeah.
I'm guessing it's later the same day. But yeah, so Ted returns from some exercise run.
Is there a shower at this place?
I don't know.
I think he just takes off his stinky, sweaty clothes and puts on his doctor get up.
I always kind of thought when you see the vet office, it mm-hmm. almost looks like there's a little house attached to it. And
that's,
I always assumed he lived there, so...
That's kind of what I was thinking, too.
I guess,
I wasn't sure if he lived above the place or not, and that's never made clear when,
yeah.
you know, Alexis goes
yeah,
to his apartment for those couple of
but
times.
Although, like, he keeps dogs there and stuff. Like, we saw when they were
yeah.
dating initially, there were two dogs
yeah,
that were there.
Yeah, he takes them into his apartment. So
right.
he does
yeah,
really just
so I'm
live
thinking
upstairs.
That,
yeah.
you know, he kind of lives maybe adjacent to the vet
okay.
office.
I like to think that he has to walk into the vet office, though, to get to his apartment.
Maybe
like, there
he does.
Isn't a separate door.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he does. But, yeah, so he returns, and he's, you know, kind of doing some stretching
doing
and
stretching,
squats and
shirtless
and everything.
Stretching, of course.
Yes, and then eventually we pretty much see him totally strip.
Right, yep.
Well, we don't see him, but
no,
it's implied
no, right.
that he totally
this
strips.
Is, this
and
is network television.
This is David's... line that you see, I feel like there's little memes about this,
oh, of course.
Where it's him kind of staring at this computer and he says, I'm obsessed with
right.
this. To which Alexis is absolutely horrified
of
because
course.
She knows that Ted was so angry about Dr. Miguel and
oh, yeah,
he's
definitely.
Basically become Dr. Miguel.
Much more
worse.
Dr. Miguel
yeah.
than Dr. Miguel could
ever
be.
Yeah. So Dr. Miguel to a new level.
Right, yes.
Shall exactly. we say.
I do love how the scene ends with David taking the laptop and walking away. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now we're outside where Johnny confronts Trish. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he basically says, I'm onto you. I know what you're doing. We don't do that here and everything.
He needs to shut it down.
Yes.
Because there's unannounced visitors coming.
Right.
They're engaging in mature activities.
Right, yes.
To which Trish just assures him that she has runs a very high-end, discreet operation.
Yes.
So really, Johnny has nothing to worry about.
Right. No, not at all. Yeah. And I love how...
It's totally cool.
I love how Trish is playing this like she's in a sleazy late night Cinemax movie. Like, she's not playing this role like anybody else on Schitt's Creek does. She seems like she's in a different show or a movie or something like that, and I think it's very funny. Also, a high class prostitution ring sounds pretty sleazy, but I mean, that's kind of what it is,
I guess,
in Schitt's Creek. Like, where, like, I guess, well, maybe I'm naive.
It's just because there's
and
a
maybe
conference.
Maybe this is happening around us right now in our little town.
Yeah, I don't
but
know.
It just seems like there wouldn't be a whole lot of money to be made.
Yeah, probably not. And it seems like this is, but it also kind of seems like this is the first time they're doing this. Like, this wasn't, Stevie doesn't know her. It's not like they've used the motel in the past.
Roland knows her. Roland knows the whole deal. Okay. Because the moment he sees her, he recognizes her. He calls her by name and everything like that.
All right.
Like,
she's
well known in these parts, I guess.
Okay. Well, Stevie didn't appear to know her. Or did she?
I don't know. Because Stevie didn't. Stevie said, hey, this is all you, buddy. But Stevie knew what was going on. So it makes me think that it's. I don't know if it's happened before or what, but.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I didn't get the impression that she was familiar with her, that,
that
they'd been there before or any of that, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Maybe she just travels with business conferences around the country and wherever
around
they're
the world,
staying.
Maybe.
That's
I don't
where
know.
She goes, I guess. Now, Ted is very excited.
Yes, because he found out that they've gotten a lot of views.
Yep. Customers want to discuss whether they should get a pet.
Right.
Like, I love that idea that you're going to call your vet and just talk to him about whether you think it's a good idea to get a pet or
right.
not.
Right, yeah, there's been a huge spike in website views. Alexis kind of breaks it to him that everybody saw him.
Right.
And that is where this spike has come from. And they debate taking it down, but he says, well, we can't really take it down because it's for the bunnies.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. He's trying to justify, you know, selling sex like Miguel to get the business that he wants.
Yeah.
I do like how Alexis at one point says something like, and you didn't know it was there, but there was this one time where you did this thing with your hips where maybe noticed that the camera was on. I thought that was pretty funny. She also mentions that I guess people can just chat, maybe like live chat when they're watching this.
Oh, maybe, because
she does
yeah.
mention how a lot of people were wondering if he was going to be able to get his pants on.
I don't know. I think it worked out pretty well for Ted, though.
It works out
Business
great for
is
Ted.
Booming.
Yeah, definitely. Of course.
Yeah.
So now we find out that Moira got the gig. She booked it. The audition tape, I guess, was a huge success.
Yeah.
So the emails are coming in giving more description or more details.
Right, about this job.
Yes, about what this job is.
Yep.
They are filming in Bosnia.
Bosnia, yep. And it's going to be released in Bosnia, Croatia, and
Herzegovina.
Yep.
You do have to fly yourself there.
But they'll put you up with a local family.
Local
So it's
family.
Totally fine. They will pay her in Baltic currency.
Right.
And she has to sign a death waiver before doing this.
Yeah, it really does start out with her saying to David and talking to David about how, oh, this stuff's standard. Yeah, this all makes sense and everything like
until
that.
Until they really start reading.
Yes, until by the end of this email where I think she just tells him to close the laptop because this is not anything she's interested in doing. So now this is where Roland shows up.
Okay, yeah.
And he does say how impressed he is with Johnny going in with Stevie about this whole thing.
Mm-hmm. He says you must be doing something right. And
exactly, yeah. Yes. We do see a woman in the background. She does have a line later.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Kitty.
Yep.
And Kitty is played by Paula McNeil.
Mm-hmm.
She did some voice work on the PBS kids show Peg and Cat.
Oh.
And also she appeared in the TV shows Hemlock Grove, Dark Matter, and Titans. Mm. The last two I think we've mentioned before.
Mm-hmm.
Trish, because now Roland sees Trish, recognizes. Mm-hmm. He does mention that Trish has been on the council's
radar. Yeah, I had kind of forgotten about that. Yeah. Yeah, he kind of, Roland talks to Kitty, and then he talks about how this whole operation has been on the council's radar.
You know what's really funny, and I didn't really think about this until now, like, just the council, like, that she's on the council's radar for some reason.
Yeah.
We never, in Schitt's Creek, we never see anything with local law enforcement, right? I mean, the closest were the Milk Police, but I think they were probably state troopers or something like that.
Yeah, maybe, and we know, like, Ronnie is the one that's kind of oversees the community service, which I don't, like, who would normally oversee community service? When you have, like, a probation officer? I don't know how all that works.
This is how little you and I ever got into trouble, or our brushes with the law have been basically none, where we don't even know who handles community service.
Yeah, so I do kind of feel like we don't see a lot from...
No, but it sounds like something where... Again, this show does such a great job of doing things differently than you would expect.
Mm-hmm.
Because if this was just a show about these rich people who go to this small town, like some bumbling sheriff would be...
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like that would be like, in any... You put this on NBC or something, and that's what it would be. You know, it would be like, it would turn into Mayberry.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't do that. And I do find that interesting. But and just in this...
Well, there's no crime in Schitt's Creek.
I guess not.
Yeah. Mutt's selling mushrooms and uppers. Okay. Alexis is, that was before she got there.
Yeah.
You know.
She's stealing animal medication.
Yeah, but. Yeah. Yeah,
that's minor. That's not a crime.
No.
Stealing animal pills.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, so he basically talks, and Johnny, again, is basically saying, like, I'll take care of this. Don't worry. It's fine.
Yeah, like, I'll shut this down and. Yeah.
I do think Roland has a good laugh about it, though.
Mm-hmm.
So now, Twyla and Jocelyn are practicing.
Right. And Moira realizes that she needs to go break up this duet.
Yes. And her...
she's not doing this movie role.
No, of course. But she doesn't tell them that, of course.
Right.
She basically says that they haven't made their mind up yet about the role, but that she would rather sing.
Yeah.
Then do it.
Yes.
You know, she made a commitment
and
she's going to have to stand by it.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, they already have their thing. They have their rapport. Like they're going to be doing it, the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And what are they singing?
Islands in the Stream.
Yes.
Yes.
Who's Kenny and who's Dolly?
I don't know. Think?
That's what I want to know.
I don't know. Yeah.
I heard that on the radio today.
Oh wow. It's a great song.
It's like The Breeze knew we were going to be recording.
Oh, your fave.
Because it was on The Breeze, and of course I turned it on and Jensen was mad.
Yeah. But yeah, so they're going to sway like their islands in the stream, and it's really cute, but like Twyla and Jocelyn sound lovely together.
Oh, they sound great. Yeah, of course.
But yeah, so Moira kind of comes. She wants to offer professional advice, and as they start singing, she just like joins in a weird foreign language.
I think she's singing in Spanish.
I don't even know that it's Spanish. I don't know. I assumed she was singing.
Bosnian?
That's what I was thinking. That what? She was, you know, channeling her Bosnian roots. I don't know. I was sort of thinking that I feel kind of clueless. I don't really know. What language do they speak? I don't know.
I don't know.
We should know that.
I said Bosnian, but I don't know that's a language. I don't think it is.
Yeah, that's kind of offensive. Sorry.
It is. If we have any Bosnian listeners, we apologize. And if you could let us know.
Or we could Google, you know. That would tell us right away.
Okay. Right.
Right. But,
write it down, put it in an envelope, mail it to us.
And
we'll
you,
read your answer.
I feel like, weren't even familiar with that song, right? Weren't you saying, like, you didn't know that song?
I knew the song.
Or I was like,
once,
yeah, that's famous. Yes, right. You know.
I didn't know who sang it. I had no idea who sang that song. I don't think it was in regular rotation in my house growing up, which is kind of surprising. My dad being a Kenny Rogers
super fan. Oh,
I don't know if super fan applies, but he enjoyed some Kenny Rogers. Uh-huh. So I was really surprised. I guess I never really listened to the whole song because, well, it's one of those things where when you know, then it all makes sense. But mm-hmm. now that I know, the moment I heard it, I was like, oh, this is clearly Dolly Parton.
Uh-huh. Yeah. No, we didn't, had to check on that. We weren't really 100% sure who the singers were. But we found out who wrote it, which was fun.
Yes, the Bee Gees wrote it.
And it came out in 1982 was the year for that.
Yeah, no, that was pretty fantastic. Yeah. We did our research there. Occasionally, we actually do a bit of research.
But
that's really how the episode ends. We don't go back to the motel or anything like that. That's where all of this comes to a close.
Wow, this is so great.
So at the end of every episode, we rank these from our favorite Schitt's Creek episode to our least favorite Schitt's Creek episode. So Carla, if this episode were a Bosnian family, would you stay with them? Or would you not even buy the plane ticket?
I think you can kind of tell by the fact that this took us, I don't know, this is going to be a short episode
this
for us.
This is going to be short.
I think there were some good parts. I was not personally super into this episode.
Okay.
I think there's enjoyable parts to it. The little vet office thing is cute.
Right.
And Ted kind of in his, uncomfortable / eventually becomes kind of comfortable situation. Right. I really was not into Trish and Kitty and the whole rooms by the hour thing. Mm-hmm. I would probably put this down as maybe 20, my new 28.
Ooh, that is low.
Yeah,
okay.
I can't say I hate any episode.
Yeah.
Or dislike any episode. This one just didn't really speak to me like some of the other ones do.
Okay. All right. Well,
so it was not one of my favorites. I would probably not take advantage of the Bosnian family's hospitality.
Okay. That's fine.
Yeah.
I'm not going as low as you with this one. It'll be my new 19. So not high, but more towards the middle.
Mm-hmm.
I will agree with everything you said, though. Mm-hmm. The rooms by the hour part wasn't great. I remember originally when I watched it thinking that wasn't great. And to be honest, I wasn't looking forward to the episode, because I look forward to watching every episode. But I remembered it being kind of one that wasn't very funny or one that there's no real plot moving forward, or no real relationships or anything, especially after the whole car thing and the driving test and all of that.
Yeah, those were great episodes, yeah.
I knew that this one wasn't going to be to that degree, but I was impressed with how much funnier the Ted stuff was than I remembered it being.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just the whole crows have eyes thing, I forgot that was this early, I said in the series.
Yeah.
I forgot all about this original audition thing. I don't remember this coming up until it does in what season? Is it near the end of season 4? Maybe not even till season 5. I don't remember when all of that stuff happens.
Yeah.
But yeah, this kind of, surprised me and more of a pleasant surprise than I thought it was going
to
be.
Yeah, so. No, I did, like I said, it's hard to say any episode is not good, because I think everything's good.
Oh, no, definitely.
But, I just feel like this one just didn't speak to me as much as some others.
Yep, nope, I am in complete agreement.
Yeah.
So, thank you for listening.
There is a Bosnian language.
Oh, it's just Bosnian?
Yeah, Bosnian language.
Okay.
Language is standardized variety of Serbo-Croatian, mainly used by Bosniaks.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's fantastic.
It's the official languages of Bosnia and Herzegovina, along with Croatian and Serbian. That's what I was thinking. Serbian was probably something. So, yeah. Wow. I just thought I'd, you know, rock out of Google on that really quick.
If you haven't figured it out, we're clueless and uneducated. Yeah. So.
We have to brush up on our geography, shall I say? I don't know.
Sociology?
Culture?
Let's just say culture. That encompasses everything.
Everything. All right. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
We'll try harder next time.
Next time, we'll be discussing the sixth episode of season 3, Murder Mystery.
Yeah.
And this is one I have to tell you, I could not tell you a single thing that happens in this episode.
Wow. Okay.
And I don't know why. The plot appears to be in the name of the episode, and I don't remember anything about this. So I'm looking forward to watching this.
Okay.
Maybe for some reason, originally I fell asleep and it just played on Netflix or whatever and I just missed it. I am excited to take a look at Murder Mystery.
All right.
So until that time, have a great 2 weeks, everybody.
Warmest regards.